Now, breaking news from WREL. Coverage you can count on.
Breaking news this noon. We are learning about a two-hour chase involving Prince Harry, his wife Meghan, and her mother. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. It happened last night in New York after the three attended the Women of Vision Awards. Meghan was there as a recipient of an award given by that organization. WREL's Ken Smith is in the WREL Live Center with the story that conjures up memories of how Harry's mother, Princess Diana, died.
And Jeff and Renee, I think that's true for all of us, many of us who were who know exactly where we were when we got that news, when this story broke in the last hour or so. Now, according to Harry and Meghan's team, the couple was fearful for their lives. They were fearful for a crash. They were fearful for something happening because of this chase. Now, NYPD sources telling CNN the Duke and Duchess of Sussex were chased by a swarm of paparazzi after the couple left that event. A spokesperson for Harry and Meghan describes the scene as a near catastrophic chase, but there was no crash. Again, that's according to an NYPD source. Now, based on information from Harry and Meghan's team, the paparazzi were in blackout vehicles, motorcycle with license plates covered, some of those motorcyclists riding on sidewalks, other paparazzi reversing down one-way streets, running red lights. That NYPD source saying the police detail that was following Harry and Meghan had to take some evasive maneuvers just to get away from the paparazzi. Now, keep in mind, one of the main reasons Harry and Meghan left the UK was to find solitude and sanctuary here in the US from aggressive paparazzi. These are pictures of them leaving from that event last night. Now, Harry often talks about protecting his wife from what his mother, Princess Diana, endured for years. Many of us remember that fateful August night back in 1997 when Princess Diana died trying to escape the paparazzi in Paris. But again, there was no crash last night. But according to Harry and Meghan's team, there were some close calls. Police had to take Harry and Meghan and her mom to a local precinct just to give them an opportunity to calm down. As you look at video of Princess Diana from the years that she was a public figure there in London. Police say that they took him to that precinct just to give the couple an opportunity to calm down and to really get away from the paparazzi. Now, Harry and Meghan's team released a statement that read in part, "While being a public figure comes with a level of interest from the public, it should never come at the cost of anyone's safety." But we have to point out that Harry and Meghan are safe after what can only be described as a very harrowing night.
Very scary incident for them, and they are trying to escape the paparazzi and leave the royal family, and they are still being harassed by the paparazzi. The price of fame is high.
Yeah, a lot of this.
Yeah, they really came to the U.S. thinking that they could still be public figures on their own terms and not have to deal with this, but clearly, this is definitely, according to royal observers, rocking them to their core.
They certainly wonder where they can go. They must be wondering that as well for safety. Ken, thanks for that update. All this happening in the last couple of hours. In just over a month, North Carolina's abortion laws are changing.
The bill vetoed by Governor Cooper was overridden as expected. WREL's Chelsea Donovan is live in downtown Raleigh. Chelsea, the question now is what happens before that law takes effect, and that's still not clear.
Yeah, so many things to parse out, Renee. We should mention that this new law impacting abortions in our state is set to take effect on July the 1st. Now, last night, abortion rights supporters, they erupted into chants as the final veto override vote was read.
Shame! 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 Shame!
This is the most extensive reduction in abortion access in decades in our state. The new measure reduces the cutoff for many abortions from 20 weeks to 12 weeks and adds restrictions to women seeking abortions and clinics that would help them. That time frame can be extended in cases of rape or incest or in life-limiting fetal abnormalities. Abortion would stay legal anytime a doctor declares a medical emergency. We should also mention a phone consultation consultation required by current law at least 72 hours before an abortion would have to be held in person. That would happen under this new law. The bill also adds a post-abortion doctor's appointment. Now, coming up later in our newscast, I'll be speaking with a local physician at Duke as well as a clinic escort as to how this ban is going to impact clinics, medical practices, doctors, and, of course, women's access to reproductive care. Back to you.
Chelsea Donovan, live at the Legislative Building. With access to abortion changing in North Carolina, a federal appeals court will take up a separate case today on the issue of medication abortion. Three conservative justices will hear arguments on whether the drug mifepristone should remain available. It follows a ruling back in April by a federal judge in Texas. The judge said the FDA's decades-old approval of the drug should be overturned. A ruling is not expected in the case immediately. Any decision is likely to be appealed to the Supreme Court. Our state's new law on abortion restrictions comes as we recognize National Women's Health Week. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services encourages women and teens to make their health a priority by scheduling a physical exam or health screening. The effort focuses on preventive care, reproductive and sexual well-being to maintain a healthier future.
Power is being restored to thousands of customers after a night of severe storms across our viewing area. Trees knocked over during the storms are partly to blame on those power lines. WRL's Laura Levine shows us the damage on St. Mary Street in Raleigh.
It was quite the night for people who live in this neighborhood on St. Mary Street and Lakeview Drive. Heavy winds took down this large white oak tree. This is where that tree was uprooted, and crews have spent more than 9 hours cleaning it up. From the late night through the early morning hours, this major thoroughfare in Raleigh was blocked off because of this. Strong winds and rain forced this large white oak, believed to be 100 years old, to come toppling down, knocking out some power lines.
When it hit, it looked like a hurricane. You could not see out here, and it was from start to finish, it didn't take 15 minutes for the rain and the wind.
Brent Lawrence tells me he was watching TV when around 11 p.m. his lights began flickering on and off. Then the weather really picked up. He's lived here for 75 years and says it's not unusual to see trees come down here, but this one falling just inches away from his home was a close call.
This whole Anderson Heights area, not hurricane-wise, but heavy, strong wind-wise, has taken a beating in the last 10 years. White Oak Road had trees down 6 months ago. This is sort of like mini Hurricane Alley or something.
About 11 vehicles were on the scene as crews used heavy equipment to chop down the tree into smaller pieces, place it into dumpster trucks, then clean up the remaining debris and branches. This all while power crews were trying to get the lights back on. And Mr. Lawrence tells me he's very thankful that no homes were damaged from all of this and that no one was injured. About 50 customers were left without power. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
A homeowner in Johnston County is safe after that storm system knocked several trees onto his home and into his backyard. This is video from Sky 5 of the scene on Buffalo Road in Archer's Lodge. The homeowner says this all happened around midnight while he was watching TV. Thankfully, he was not hurt. Here's a good idea. Download the WRL Weather app to keep track of severe weather threats 24 hours a day. The app is available for Apple and Android devices.
Cyclists will gather in Durham this evening to remember those killed or hurt while riding a bike. It comes following three cyclist deaths in the past year. The director of Bike Durham says it is the first time since 2017 a cyclist has been killed while riding in the city. His organization is hosting tonight's Silent Bike Ride. He tells us there is good news. In a new budget proposal, Durham City Manager included many items that Bike Durham is pushing for, including new sidewalks, bike facilities, and street crossings. He says there is still room for improvement.
I think that that's it. It's a big job to build out the citywide network of safer streets. We agree that we need to start in the neighborhoods that have been disinvested in for a long time. That's where a lot of folks live who don't have access to a car.
Today's Silent Bike Ride begins at 5:30 at CCB Plaza. The route is 5 miles long.
A girl who disappeared from her Illinois home 6 years ago is back with her father now. The reunion happened after someone in Asheville, North Carolina, recognized her from an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. A store employee recognized Kayla Unbahan from a 2022 episode of the Netflix show. Authorities say her non-custodial mother abducted her from the Chicago area when she was 9 years old. Heather Unbahan is now being held in the Buncombe County Jail, waiting for extradition to Illinois.
It is unusual, but it's good that when someone does suspect that they recognize someone, no matter how old the story might be, that they are not afraid to give us a call so we can come investigate.
Kayla's father says he is overjoyed and grateful for everyone who helped bring his daughter home.
Let's take a look at stocks now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 200 points as investors are hopeful that President Biden and congressional leaders will reach a deal on the U.S. debt ceiling and avoid economic catastrophe. The S&P 500 is also up 23 points. NASDAQ up 65 points. Let's talk hockey now. WRAL will have live team coverage leading up to game one of the Eastern Conference Final tomorrow night on home ice. We'll be at PNC Arena all day, starting with our morning news. Join us at 7:30 p.m. for special pregame coverage of all the Canes excitement. We'll walk you through what to look for during this big series with the Panthers. Everything you need to know before watching the puck drop at 8. Then after the game, turn to us for post-game coverage during our late news. At 11:25, we'll have an exclusive post-game show. You'll hear from fans, players, and of course, Coach Rod Brendamore. Next at noon, President Biden says he will cut short his trip to Asia to sit down at the debt ceiling negotiations table. Why he's saying it's a budget meeting and that the U.S. will not default on its debt.
Also, new rules are in place for abortion access. How clinics in North Carolina are preparing for them to go into effect.
Plus, flooding in Italy has forced thousands to evacuate. The big weekend event that has now been canceled. Elizabeth.
We have some beautiful weather in store here. You can see partly cloudy skies here in Fayetteville. A stretch of nice weather until we get into the weekend. And then some rain, possibly. I'll show you what the timeline is looking like coming up.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The Treasury Secretary says the U.S. will run out of money to pay its bills in about 2 weeks. It would be a historic first if leaders fail to reach an agreement. There are some positive signs, though, at last, after a face-to-face meeting between the president and top congressional leaders. Mark Meredith reports President Biden is now canceling part of his planned trip to Asia to deal with the talks here at home.
We're going to solve all the world's problems.
The White House and congressional Republicans remain in a fierce debate over how and when to raise the nation's debt limit, even as experts warn the longer Washington waits, the bigger risk of an economic crisis. On Tuesday, following a meeting with congressional leaders, President Biden suggested a compromise could come within days.
There was an overwhelming consensus, I think, in today's meeting, the congressional leaders, that defaulting on the debt is simply not an option.
It is possible to get a deal by the end of the week. It's not that difficult to get to an agreement.
Republicans are demanding cuts to future spending in exchange for raising the debt ceiling. The White House says it's now ready to negotiate, but it remains unclear what it'll ultimately support. The negotiations are impacting the president's own plans. Today, he's traveling to Japan for a G7 summit, but will now skip stops in Australia and Papua New Guinea. The White House says Biden's Japan travel is essential for addressing both economic and foreign security matters, including China.
I think they're going to talk about the broad scope of coercive activities by the PRC, and economics is certainly a part of that. Yes, that will be part of the discussion.
White House aides say at the summit, the president will take steps to address support to Ukraine, combating climate change, and dealing with global inflation.
They will discuss ways to further strengthen our mutual security, economic, multilateral cooperation.
That was Mark Meredith reporting, and police patrols and checkpoints were in place ahead of the G7 summit in Japan this week. This year's summit is likely to focus heavily on the war in Ukraine and concerns about China's threats to Taiwan. Japan's prime minister hopes to use the host city of Hiroshima to remind the world of the risks of nuclear proliferation.
Some college students in California are taking big steps to fight sexual assault on campus. Students at the University of Southern California developed the Brave app, which comes with a wristband. It allows users to alert their families and friends that they are in danger. The user presses the button on the band, which will send a notification to others letting them know they need help. The bracelet shares the location of the person and even directions on how to get there.
We have survivors on the team, and this is a mission driven by students for students. And sexual assault right here, right now. It's a problem that shouldn't exist today, and it's a solution that should have been here yesterday.
The students say they want to connect with notable corporate companies to help make Brave a free resource for students to use across the country.
Eight people are confirmed dead after heavy flooding and mudslides in northern Italy, and thousands have been forced to evacuate their homes. Rescue crews are working around the clock to find people and get them to safety. Barbie Lazzanedu shows us their efforts.
Roads turned to rivers as rain many hoped would alleviate drought conditions, now a serious threat in the central Italian region of Emilia-Romagna. There are already victims, and rescuers are searching for the missing. Hundreds of people were rescued from flooded homes, many brought to safety in rubber dinghies on flooded streets. More than 5,000 people are under evacuation, according to the civil protection. Among them, a four-month-old baby and an elderly handicapped man. The region had been undergoing severe drought. In 2022, low rainfall and extreme heat depleted the River Po, a crucial waterway for transport and irrigation. A winter with very little snow did little to help. And as bad as these floods are, they're only a drop in the bucket for what is needed to reverse the drought. Earlier this month, a downpour swelled the Po by 5 feet. This deluge of water will raise it even more, but it is still well below average. Extreme weather events are threatening other Italian regions, from Venice, where the Mose floodgates have been raised to protect the city from high water, to Sicily, where heavy storms downed trees and flooded homes.
Now, due to that heavy rain in Italy this morning, Formula One canceled this weekend's big scheduled race, the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix. Formula One community extended its thoughts to the community that's affected by this. Organizers released a statement saying it just wouldn't be right to put further pressure on local emergency services at this difficult time. They're having enough of a struggle there without trying to be safe at a race when everybody's getting kicked out of their homes.
Yeah, understandable. And such a serious situation there. With our situation, we're now seeing sunshine after our bout of severe weather. We had scattered reports of damage. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner now in the WRS Severe Weather Center. Nice to see that sun shining over the DPAP.
Yeah, it is nice. I know a lot of folks are trying to recover. A lot of the power outages have been taken care of. And there was one tree on a house in Johnston County. There were a lot of limbs down, some trees down on streets this morning. But a lot of that cleanup is underway and even being completed at this point. It is pretty over the DPAP right now. We're looking at mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. The Bulls got their whole game in last night before all the thunderstorms came through. And now we're looking at just lovely weather for the next several days. 76 degrees right now. Our dew point has dropped into the upper 50s. This morning it was in the mid 60s. So we are starting to see some drier air beginning to filter in. We'll see a front that comes through this evening without any rain, but it will help our dew points to drop even more. That means it will feel even more comfortable and refreshing as we get into the day tomorrow. We'll see highs in the low 80s for this afternoon, partly to variably cloudy skies, or maybe a few periods this afternoon where we're seeing overcast skies. There's a lot of cloud cover out there, but some holes in between those clouds. 81 Raleigh, 81 Durham, and 85 in Fayetteville. It is Bark in the Park at the Durham Bulls this evening at 6 o'clock, 76 degrees. At 8 o'clock, 71. It's going to be a really nice evening. We could see one quick sprinkle right around, say, 6 o'clock or so with a front coming through. Most of us are not going to end up seeing that. Definitely worth a mention. And meteorologist Kat Campbell is going to be out there at Bark in the Park with Jazzy this evening. Tomorrow is going to be the perfect day to spend some time outside. If you're lucky enough to have a ticket to the Hurricanes game tomorrow night, tailgating is going to be perfect. Temperatures will be in the mid-70s at 5 o'clock, be in the 60s when the game is over. Just really pretty weather. Our normal high is 80 degrees, and for the next several afternoons, we're going to have some fairly nice weather. Big question mark about Friday and again Saturday and Sunday as we get back into a wetter pattern again. We can see the muggy meter changing up a little bit, too. It's going to feel really comfortable for us tomorrow, and then we begin to see the humidity or the moisture building a little bit as we get closer to the weekend. So many things happening this weekend. One of those things things has got to be in C. And we're watching for the chance of some showers in the morning. And it looks like we'll see a coastal low. Right now, the timing of the low and the position of the low will have a lot to do with where and what time our rain comes in on Friday. We do have that potential. And then again, Saturday, late Saturday, Saturday night, we have the chance of a few showers as well with a cold front coming through. So in just a few minutes, we're going to walk through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday so that hopefully you can start to plan around it. I'll show you what we feel confident in and what we're kind of waiting to see where the computer models are going with. It does look like it'll be nice and dry for next week, but again, in just a few minutes, we'll take a closer look at this weekend.
Good to see no intense heat there, Elizabeth. Thank you. Support is pouring in from across the state for a small town dairy farmer who was attacked by a bull. Randy Lewis survived, but the bull left him with broken bones and punctured lungs. Lewis tells us how he's doing after weeks in the ICU. That's on our news at 5.
At 5:30, the results are in for the program testing out safety software in Durham Public Schools. What it tells us about the prevalence of violence and self-harm among students. And still ahead this noon, some e-filing companies will soon have a little competition with the government. A pilot program that could eliminate the guesswork from filing your taxes.
Plus, Apple is rolling out a new feature that could fill a big need. How the technology could prove helpful for people with cognitive, hearing, and mobility issues.
iPhones will soon be able to digitize your voice and why some Jeeps are being recalled. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
More than 130,000 Jeep Cherokees are being recalled due to a fire hazard. An electrical short in the power liftgate could cause the vehicles to catch fire regardless of whether the engine is running. Fiat Chrysler says the recall affects some Jeep Cherokee models made between 2014 and 2016. There have been no reports of accidents or injuries tied to the issue, but owners of the recalled models are being advised to park the vehicles outside and away from structures until the issue is resolved. Verizon is cutting the number of unlimited data plans it offers. Instead of six plans, the carrier will now offer just two. Verizon says it's an effort to simplify the plans and make them less confusing for customers. The most expensive versions of the data plans are being dropped. The two remaining plans will be called Unlimited Welcome and Unlimited Plus. Apple's next big iPhone update will include a feature offering a digital version of your voice. You just record 15 minutes of audio to let the device learn your voice. Then you can type texts and they'll be read by your phone during calls, FaceTime, or in-person conversations. The feature is aimed at iPhone users with cognitive, vision, hearing, and mobility disabilities. Apple says people with conditions that affect their speaking ability over time, like ALS, could benefit from the tool. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
The IRS plans to test a free government-backed online tax filing system next year. The system could become its own full-scale tax filing option and would compete with tax prepping companies such as TurboTax and H&R Block. 72% of Americans surveyed said they would be interested in filing their taxes directly to the IRS at no cost. The system could cost up to $249 million a year to operate. If you haven't logged into your Google account in months, you could soon lose it forever. Google says any accounts inactive for at least 2 years will be deleted in December. The decision will help prevent security threats such as hacks. Accounts linked to Google apps such as Gmail, Docs, and YouTube are at risk of being lost as well. The change will not apply to businesses or schools. Users will receive recovery emails and warnings of the deletion this week.
Still ahead this noon, a construction zone crash in Johnston County. What troopers discovered about the driver after the fact that may have contributed to the crash?
First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Our new news continues here at the WRAL Live Center with some breaking news. An Idaho grand jury was just getting word indicting Brian Koberger. He's a 28-year-old man now in custody for the killing of four University of Idaho students. He was arrested back in December on four counts of first-degree murder and other charges. Koberger is suspected of breaking into the student's home and carrying out that crime. Now, he is yet to enter a plea, but is expected to do so during his arraignment next week.
Ken, thanks. Another major shift in abortion access in the U.S. as one of the remaining southern states to allow abortions tightened its restrictions overnight. We're, of course, talking about North Carolina. Republican state lawmakers overrode Governor Roy Cooper's veto on an abortion ban after 12 weeks. NBC's Shaquille Brewster explains the restrictions in the legislation.
Hi there. Well, the reaction here in North Carolina continues this morning after the legislature last night voted to pass a 12-week abortion ban in this state. This is a law that was vetoed by the Democratic governor here, but the new Republican supermajority was able to override that veto last night. And once enacted in July, this bill will put restrictions on all abortions, but ban most of them after just 12 weeks. It extends that limit to about 20 weeks for cases of rape and incest and 24 weeks for what the bill calls life-limiting fetal anomalies. This happened despite, as I mentioned, the governor's veto, but came with lots of protests. You've seen strong reaction from the White House, from the governor, all the way down to protesters in the chamber who yelled shame as this law was being passed. The Speaker of the House said that this is about protecting life. You heard Republicans in this state call it a compromise, pointing to the idea that it doesn't have as severe restrictions as you're seeing in other states around the country. But I just had a conversation with Planned Parenthood in this area, and they say they fear it could result in some abortion clinics in this state closing. It just is another fight, another change that you're seeing in this country as abortion continues to be changed across the country after the overturning of Roe. In North Carolina, Shaquille Brewster, NBC News.
For more reaction to this abortion law and an in-depth look at how it will affect millions of women and girls across North Carolina, head to the WRL News app or visit WRL.com.
There's some cleanup across our viewing area after storms overnight, and a homeowner is safe after those strong storms knocked down several trees onto his home and into his backyard. WRL's Michael Gray spoke with the homeowner about this late night experience.
Yeah, and the homeowner here told me that he thinks it could have even been a tornado that came through just with how much damage there is, how many trees came up out of the ground. And you can take a look at it here. We had a chance to walk around the property. Obviously, the front porch as well as the front half of that house, that's what really sticks out at you right when you drive up to this property. But then you go to the back and you see 3, 4, maybe even 5 trees landing right on top of the house. Now, he said this all happened at around midnight, 1 a.m. He was on the couch watching TV. Then he heard a loud roar, almost sounded like a train. Here's what he had to say next.
Seemed though the whole side of the house started shaking, windows started breaking, and this is what you got out of the whole deal.
Now, the fire department was out here earlier this morning. Right now, Duke Energy still working to get power back on at this property, but this homeowner has been dealt with the task of cleaning up all of this mess. In Archer Lodge, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
Here in Raleigh, a large tree knocked down power lines on St. Mary Street near Lakeview Drive just before midnight. Crews worked for hours to cut it into smaller pieces so they could remove it. Duke Energy says only a handful of people experienced power outages in that area. Over in southeast Raleigh on Drayford Way, nearly 4,000 people were without power after a massive pine tree fell onto power lines. You can see the tree weighing down those wires. Duke Energy crews said it was a tedious process to restore power there. Poles had to be grounded before removing the tree and then reattaching the power lines. Drayford Way was blocked for several hours.
We're working to learn the name of the man who was hit and killed on the train tracks near Blue Ridge Road in Raleigh. The WRL Breaking News Tracker was on the scene. Amtrak tweeted after 1 a.m. saying Piedmont Train 78 resumed its trip after the crash before 11 last night. Raleigh police say the man was walking on the track when the train hit him. The train also hit a car about 100 yards away near the intersection with Hillsborough Street. A woman faces a DWI charge after crashing into a construction vehicle in Johnston County. This was around 10:30 last night in a construction zone in the westbound lanes of U.S. 70 near Wilson's Mills. Highway Patrol says her vehicle hit the back of a DOT contracted truck. She was treated for minor injuries at Wake Med.
Wake County School Board approved a revised policy on how books and other educational materials are selected. It would require educators to spend more time reviewing books that are selected for libraries and for classroom read-alouds. The changes include prohibiting materials that they call pervasively vulgar, though that term isn't defined any more specifically in state law or policy. Wake County Public School System is looking to address the ongoing bus driver shortage. A job fair for drivers and bus safety assistants runs from 2 to 4 this afternoon at 111 Corning Road in Cary. A spokesperson told us they are still looking to fill almost 300 positions as of May 5th. The school board approved new bonuses and pay raises earlier this year, but the district says it has not yet seen an increase in applicants.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, get ready for a Carolina hurricane storm surge. The team, of course, getting ready for game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. They wrapped up a morning skate just a short time ago. Listen to what Jordan Stahl said about facing the Florida Panthers.
We got a big challenge. I mean, they've got a good power play. They find ways to kind of keep it simple. I think they throw a lot of pucks on net and just kind of create havoc. And they got some key players we talked about already that can change the game in an instant. So it's another big challenge, and we're excited for it, and we'll be ready.
Oh, man, so many storylines with this series, not the least of which is Jordan Stahl facing his brothers Eric and Mark, both of whom play for the Florida Panthers. And many of us who've lived here a long time remember Coach Paul Maurice, who now coaches the Florida Panthers. Well, he did two stints with the Carolina Hurricanes as well. By the way, the Hurricanes won 2 of the 3 meetings between these teams during the regular season. Boy, PNC should be rocking tomorrow night when that puck drops at 8 o'clock.
Several crossover connections between the teams. Ken, thank you. Another reason to squeeze in daily exercise. How there's a big payoff when it comes to battling pneumonia or the flu.
Plus, House Democrats are forcing a floor vote to expel Representative George Santos. What that will force House Republicans to do regarding the congressman who's charged with fraud. Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Orange, Granville, and Granville counties. And as we start with Orange County, you get documents shredded for free this weekend. Orange County Solid Waste is hosting a shred-a-thon on Saturday from 10 to 2 p.m. behind the Home Depot at Hampton Point in Hillsboro. The paper must be in clear plastic bags up to 13 gallons or a box no larger than a banker box. And there's a limit of 4. One trip per household or organization. And in Granville, the Oxford Landfill is giving away free mulch. You can pick up a load between 7:30 and 3:30 on weekdays and on Saturday mornings from 8 to 11:30. The mulch will be available through June 5th or while supplies last.
Depression is more widespread than ever in the United States. More than 1 in 6 adults say they are depressed or receiving treatment for depression. That's a 7% jump from 2015. Younger adults reported the highest rates of depression. Experts are not surprised Americans are struggling after the COVID pandemic. They also say awareness around mental health has grown, leading to higher rates of diagnoses. Daily exercise could keep you from dying from pneumonia or the flu. Researchers in Britain say exercising can cut down your chances from dying from flu or pneumonia by 48%. More than 500,000 people were categorized into groups based on how well they met the recommended amount of exercise a day. Researchers found that meeting both recommendations for aerobic and muscle strengthening activity cut the risk associated with flu or pneumonia death nearly in half. He's accused of embezzlement and lying about his finances. Coming up, who's leading a new push to force Representative George Santos out of Congress?
Rudy Giuliani is being sued by a former employee. Still ahead this noon, the sexual harassment claims documented in a 70-page complaint and what Giuliani has to say about it.
It is 12:43 as you take a live look at Lake Gaston. Cloudy skies there, the water all nice and peaceful. Our highs will be in the mid to upper 70s. You're watching WRAL News, available on Hulu and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device.
New York Congressman George Santos's troubles are growing. He could potentially face a vote to expel him from Congress, although Speaker Kevin McCarthy is pumping the brakes a bit. Madeline Rivera explains from Washington.
Can you answer that question, sir?
House lawmakers are moving one step closer to removing embattled Republican Congressman George Santos. A vote to expel him may come Wednesday after House Democrats triggered the move.
Truth and justice are critical components of a healthy democracy. But that faith and trust are broken when the voters have been lied to.
Santos is facing several charges, including wire fraud, money laundering, and lying to Congress. The Justice Department is accusing the first-term congressman of falsely claiming he was unemployed so he could receive federal benefits during the COVID pandemic. Prosecutors also say Santos used donor money from his 2022 campaign to pay for personal expenses like designer clothing.
What do you say to your old colleagues who don't think you should be a member of Congress anymore, Mr. Santos?
A vote to expel Santos requires a two-thirds majority, a high bar to reach in the House. Instead, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy wants another committee to review Santos' actions.
I think the George Santos indictment is very serious. I also know in America you're innocent to proven guilty, but I don't want to sit around and wait. So what I would like to do is move this to ethics.
Democrats, however, say they're aiming to put Republicans on the record.
If you vote for this motion to refer it to the Ethics Committee, you are complicit in George Santos's fraud.
As Madeline Rivera reporting, removing Santos would pare down the Republicans' already slim majority in the House, a scenario several GOP members don't want. Former New York City mayor and Donald Trump's former lawyer Rudy Giuliani is now the center of a new sexual harassment lawsuit. A woman who says she worked for Giuliani filed the suit. The 70-page complaint says he demanded sexual favors and committed wage theft. Giuliani's accuser says he also discussed selling presidential pardons and detailed plans to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Giuliani released a statement denying the allegations.
Every Wednesday, a class at Holly Springs High School brings up WRAL.com, reads a news story, and then writes about it. It's called WRAL Wednesday, and Kelly O'Hara's class has been doing it for 3 years. They even have T-shirts. The students are drawn to a variety of stories happening across the country and around the world. They also care deeply about climate change.
WRAL Wednesday is an exciting day in our classroom because everybody likes to see what's going on in the news. And it's a way to have them be a part of the community, knowing and understanding what's going on around them.
And I love it that they turn to us for that information source. Search WRAL Wednesday on WRAL.com to meet the students. And today being Wednesday, I hope those students found something interesting and useful in this newscast. And of course, every day.
I'd grade some papers if they give me a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty cool stuff.
We can probably get the hookup.
I love that. Or we can pass it off on Elizabeth Gardner. They probably have a weather segment, I would imagine. Right?
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. If they want me to grade the papers, A plus for everybody. I think it's so cool that they're doing that. That's really, really neat. Well, let's take a look outside. This is our high-resolution satellite, and this may be a little bit hard to pick out, but we have something really fun happening right now. We have at the surface, right here on the ground, our wind finally coming out of the north, and so we're seeing some cloud cover, but you can kind of follow it as it moves down to the south. So we are seeing some slightly drier, a little bit of a drop in our humidity, kind of an air mass coming on in, but in the mid-levels of the atmosphere, all the flow is coming from the west, so we're not seeing a lot of solid cooling. And we have air that's moving in different directions like this. It can help to keep more clouds across our area. So we'll see partly to fairly to mostly cloudy skies for the rest of the afternoon. What I want to do now for the next couple of minutes is focus on the weekend. It's Wednesday, and I know it's time to think about the weekend, and so many things are happening. Artsplosure, we're a proud sponsor of Artsplosure here at WRAL. And we have two systems that we're watching for the weekend. So this is kind of a broad brush, partly cloudy on Saturday with a high of 81 and a 30% chance of showers, and then same thing for Sunday, a little bit cooler at 78. That doesn't tell the whole story, though. It's much more complicated than that. Let's take a look here. On Friday, we have a coastal low, and I'm not sure how we ended up with that graphic there, but we have a coastal low that may bring some showers inland, and we're just starting to see the models come in better agreement about that. The question is, how far inland will that rain come on Friday? Will it come to the edge of our viewing area, or will everyone see rain? And I'll show you one of the scenarios coming up. And then late Saturday into early Sunday, we have a cold front that comes through. So two separate systems that will be affecting us over the weekend. The way we're trending with Saturday's front is that it looks like the rain is getting lighter and lighter. And that's great news if you have outdoor plans. Let's jump ahead and take a look at Friday. This is early Friday morning, 2-3 a.m., and that coastal low, at least on this version of FutureCast, which is our high-resolution model, begins to push some rain in. There's 5 a.m., there's 7, 8 a.m., so it looks like, at least on this version of FutureCast, that we would have a wet commute, especially from Raleigh south and west. There's lunchtime. Right after lunchtime, that low keeps moving up the coast, and the rain is gone. And then after that, we may see a nice little break for Friday afternoon, Friday night, and into a good chunk of Saturday. So let's take a look at Friday on this version of FutureCast. Here's our coastal low. You can see that low moving up the coast by 5 o'clock. The rain is over and the low continues to move offshore. Then here comes Saturday's front. It starts to move in by fairly late, probably late afternoon, and you can see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. And on this version of FutureCast, the rain is over by Sunday morning. So we'll continue to watch this. We'll have a number of computer models that will come in between now and late Friday, and we'll watch the trend. Is the front moving faster? Is it moving slower? What's the duration of that front going to be? But at least it lets you know we have the chance of some rain on Friday. Right now, it looks like maybe during the morning, and then a chance of late day showers or thunderstorms on Saturday night, and maybe into early Sunday morning. So that's the time frame. Looking like we could see a decent amount of rain, at least in parts of the viewing area, especially the farther east you go, depending on the location of that coastal low. That would be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday combined, with maybe a half an inch to an inch of rain in some places. Tomorrow looks absolutely gorgeous. We'll see a high of 81 today. We're looking at mid-70s tomorrow and Friday. Tomorrow looks partly cloudy with low humidity. But again, Friday, we could be dealing with a few showers. You don't want to miss Kat and Mike this evening. They'll have a new run of the computer models, and we'll see how we're trending with our forecast for the weekend. Right now, Monday and Tuesday look nice and quiet.
Pretty good, Elizabeth. Thanks. Well, they're used to getting crowds pumped up at sporting events, but now some mascots are putting all their energy into another cause.
First, here's a look at the winning Mega Millions numbers. We have 15, 34, 36, 69, 70. The Mega Ball is 17 and the Mega Flyer is 3.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines that we are following for you today. Prince Harry and his wife Meghan were involved in a car chase with paparazzi photographers, according to his spokesperson. The couple's team says the incident involved around half a dozen blacked out vehicles with unidentified people driving recklessly and endangering everyone around them. The spokesperson described the chase as nearly catastrophic.
Crews are cleaning up today after storms caused significant damage in several areas. Trees fell onto power lines, onto roads, and even onto houses like this one in Johnston County. Thousands of people in Wake County did not have power this morning because of the storms.
Republican state lawmakers successfully overrode Governor Roy Cooper's veto of the abortion ban bill, making it law. It's the first major victory for the GOP lawmakers' new supermajority in the state. The legislation reduces abortions from 20 weeks to 12. It also adds restrictions to women seeking abortions and clinics seeking to provide them.
The iconic Space Needle in Seattle is getting a new paint job. Special guests Mariner Moose, the mascot for the Seattle Mariners, and Bowie from the Seattle Kraken started repainting the landmark. The Space Needle is returning to astronaut white this year. It was painted its original galaxy gold for its 60th anniversary celebration in 2022.
Bowie has a little time now. The Kraken got knocked out of the playoffs. So. Our pet of the day is looking for a quiet and low-key forever home. Lancelot is initially shy, but with a bit of patience and love, he will come out of his shell and show you his affectionate and playful side. He prefers the company of low-energy feline friends or would be a great work-from-home companion as an only cat. Lancelot has high blood pressure, but it's easily managed with two inexpensive medications that he takes eagerly in pill pockets. If you're interested in giving him the loving home he deserves, you can fill out an application on the Cat Angels website.
The critics have spoken, and their reviews about the newest model from EV car company VinFast are blunt. The complaints some critics had about the car's flow. That's today on WRL News at 4.
That is the one coming to Chatham County also. So wait and see how they handle things as they get started here in the next year or so in building that facility. NBC News Daily, up next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. We hope you have a great day as you look live at Lake Gaston.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.